This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes, it's still a dynasty.
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3. Then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their 6th Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, 6, baby! 6, that's all I got to say.
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number 6!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland. We're speaking today with Sipiwe Belika. He is the author of 4-Minute Fit, the Metabolism Accelerator for the Time-Crunched, Desk-Bound, and Stressed Out. I certainly qualify on all three counts. Mr. Belika, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Derek.
So you originally developed this during your stint. I think you did for 4 years or so as a truck driver. And as a former truck driver, would you say that it's hard to get a great big convoy going when you have a great big butt?
That's an interesting question. Yes, it's true. I did develop this this program, this nutrition and fitness program, while I was a truck driver. But the convoy thing, we can try it.
maybe there's some exercise equivalent to C.W. McCall's great trekking song, which I'm alluding to. But it would involve thousands of truckers, I'm sure, exercising all at the same time. How does your typical trucker usually get exercise?
They don't.
Yeah.
That's why I had to do this book, 4 Minute Fit.
Right.
Truck drivers, it's the most unhealthy occupation in America. Has the highest rate of obesity, the highest rate of metabolic syndrome, and the lowest life expectancy. So there's a very real and extreme health epidemic, health crisis in the industry. And when I was driving the truck and had to figure out how to lose weight and take care of myself on the road, I tried everything that was out there and realized there is no nutrition and fitness program specifically designed for long-haul truck drivers, their unique environment, and their unique schedules. So I decided to design such a system.
What can you actually do in 4 minutes that's going to keep you in shape?
Okay, it's real simple. Any movement that you can do at maximum intensity. Doesn't matter what the movement is, so long as you're going hard enough that you're breathing so hard you can barely finish a sentence. The whole point is, before you start your day, whether you're going to be behind a wheel and driving all day or sitting at a desk or in front of a computer, you have to. It's your choice. It's within your power. You can either sit there all day with your metabolism on low, or you can have it on high. If you want to burn fat while you're sitting, you want to turn your metabolism on. And the easiest way to do that, again, is to move with maximum intensity for 4 minutes.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming, you know, I'm a talk show host, so I would like this to be convenient for me. But I'm assuming that when you say any movement for 4 minutes, that doesn't include the tongue wagging.
look, I'm going to be honest with you. True story, right? Had a driver come in the other day. And was telling me the effect that doing this program had on his girlfriend, and she watches three kids. They had spina bifida, and one of the kids, wheelchair, 300 pounds, doesn't have the use of his feet, and has lost 30 pounds doing this program. And he asked, he said, how did he do it? And he said, well, he's on the bed, and he's rolling back and forth with maximum intensity.
Wow.
So I know you were kind of making a joke, but actually this is why I teach it this way, literally. It's any movement you can do that causes you to breathe really hard. That's going to be effective.
Wow, that's amazing. So I guess I just have to work myself up into a lather over some topic, and maybe that would actually work for me. We are speaking with...
It could. Maybe you can combine it with brushing your teeth. I don't know.
Or both at the same time. There are some people who would
exactly.
say, I would be a better talk show host if I hosted the show while I was brushing my teeth. So there you go. We are speaking with Sipiwe Belaka. He is the author of 4 Minute Fit, The Metabolism Accelerator for the Time-Crunched, Desk-Bound, and Stressed Out. What should truckers, or anyone on a road trip for that matter, be eating aside from something that's been sitting under a heat lamp for hours?
Well, if metabolism is your issue, especially, again, if you are already overweight or obese, you've been sedentary, you're not really doing any kind of exercise program, at this point, your exercise and your nutrition is very specific towards boosting your metabolism. So what you want to do is you want to eat every 3 hours, and you want to eat some form of protein. Doesn't really matter what the protein is, as long as you're getting a sufficient amount. We're not talking huge meals here or anything like that. Handful of nuts, low-fat cheese stick, beef jerky, tin of tuna, eggs, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, even a protein bar, protein drink. But if you're going to go that route, you're not picking the thing that has the most protein. You're picking the thing that has the least amount of carbs.
Interesting. So actually, conceivably, if you're going by the truck stop, you pick up a bunch of beef jerky and you're parceling that out over the course of the day, that could conceivably be one route to putting a decent metabolism in place.
Absolutely, because you got to start thinking of your metabolism as a fire, okay? First, you got to get it going, and that's what the moving with maximum intensity for 4 minutes is. When you do that, you're creating this incredible demand for energy, and all of a sudden your body has to start pulling from its fat stores to supply this demand. once you get the fire going or once you get your metabolism going, what do you have to do after that? You got to keep feeding it. You got to keep putting a log on the fire. So in this case, eating protein every 3 hours, this is the way you feed your metabolism. And, you know, some people really love this plan because if your choice is between eating a banana and a bag of pork rinds, you're better off eating the bag of pork rinds. It's all protein, no carbs.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, so, okay, you see, it's just a matter about the choices at the truck stop as opposed to eating at the truck stop per se. So
yes,
there you go.
That's the key. And, I mean, as a society, we're not taught how to filter all of the nutrition and fitness information that's out there. So what happens is, you know, you might hear something like eat oatmeal because it's heart healthy, which it is, and lower cholesterol. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to help your metabolism. So, for example, people will get information that's not specific to their problem. If your problem is a low or slow metabolism, there's a certain way to eat where you're going to boost it, and it might not be what you think. And this is one of the things we cover extensively in the book.
We're speaking with Sipile Belica. He is the author of 4-Minute Fit, the metabolism accelerator for the time-crunched, desk-bound, and stressed out. I have a question that really has nothing or virtually nothing to do with exercise. And okay. It has to do with your fascinating personal story. You graduated from Yale, and you were also a trucker for 4 years. A lot of people think that the political and cultural problems we have as a nation today stem from the fact that people who graduate from places like Yale and people who have jobs like driving a truck, the fact that they don't understand each other very well. Given the fact you've done both those things, what do you think those two populations need to know about each other?
Wow, that's a great question. So, I mean, first of all, there's 3.5 million truck drivers in America, okay, that deliver all the goods that we use. Everything you can see and touch right now has come off of a truck. Mm-hmm. Truck drivers are the lifeblood of the American economy. If anything were to happen wholesale to truck drivers, this country would come to a halt. You know, people wouldn't be able to buy stuff at stores. It would just throw the country into chaos. And that's happened in any city that's been shut down due to an ice storm or some kind of disaster. Okay? So the first thing you got to understand is, wow, these are the men and women who are keeping this country running.
Right.
The other thing that needs to be understood is there is this health crisis within the industry. There's a shortage of 60,000 truck drivers. One of the reasons is because it is so healthy and it has the highest rate of, you know, obesity and metabolic syndrome and lowest life expectancy, right? People aren't entering the industry on the one hand, and people are leaving the industry early because they're not healthy. So ultimately, here's this emergency situation, and there's no corresponding crisis response until now. This is what 4-Minute Fit was all about. It was my effort to address the situation with an emergency response that could benefit, you know, any driver. Didn't matter, you know, if they were male or female, young or old, new driver, old driver, veteran driver, blind driver, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that was my joke, because there's no blind driver.
I don't know, man. I'm out on the freeways sometimes, and you wouldn't know the difference. I'm not sure. It's a P-Way,
yes.
Belica. He is the author of 4-Minute Fit, the metabolism accelerator for the time-crunched, desk-bound, and stressed out. Sipile, thank you so much for joining us on Now It's the News. It was a lot of fun.
It was. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland.
If you are a baby boomer with 200,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 200,000 $200,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland.
Today we're speaking with Peter Eisner. He's the author of MacArthur Spies, The Soldier, The Singer, and The Spy Master, who defied the Japanese in World War II. Peter, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Happy to do it. Thanks.
So after the attack on Pearl Harbor in December 7th, 1941, The Japanese continued their attacks and invasions across the Pacific. They occupied many areas, including places where Americans lived. Now, the Americans who resisted in these places became known as MacArthur's spies after General Douglas MacArthur. Peter, what's the general profile of these folks? I know you examined a few individuals in particular, but what kinds of reasons were these Americans living abroad?
Well, first thing that people forget that the Philippines was an American Commonwealth in the 1930s and 1940s, right, just like Puerto Rico is now. So there were a lot of Americans living in the city of Manila, and it was 5,000 miles away, but it felt like home. It was home to thousands of Americans, and as war approached in 1941, more and more American soldiers and sailors were coming to the city, and very much looked like a tropical version of the United States. And then suddenly, hours after Pearl Harbor, the Japanese attacked Manila and attacked the Philippines, and war broke out across the Pacific. And that was America as it was, far from the homeland, suddenly was under war in the end of 1941.
Approximately how many folks were living in Manila? How many Americans?
I would say permanent expatriates, maybe 10 to 20,000, and then tens of thousands of more of American soldiers and sailors that had been shipped in. General MacArthur, who was the head of the Pacific Command, actually, people don't realize that he was there before the war. He spent a lot of time in the Philippines, realized he couldn't defend Manila, withdrew to Bataan, a name known in history but not to many detail, and eventually the United States lost to the Japanese in Bataan in April of 1942, and that is really where my story starts, because people have heard of the Bataan Death March, in which Americans surrendered and some died and Filipinos died marching under horrendous conditions to a prisoner of war camp. But hundreds of Americans and thousands of Filipinos refused to surrender, ran off to the hills, and started becoming an organized guerrilla force. And that then became MacArthur's spies and MacArthur's rebels, Americans and Filipinos that dared to fight.
It's fascinating. We're speaking with Peter Eisner, the author of MacArthur's Spies. Now, some of these folks actually went up into the hills and were resisting that way. Others of them were kind of out in the open, but still helping the Americans surreptitiously. To what degree did the guerrillas have success?
At first, the guerrillas were exhausted. These were soldiers that had been fighting with very little food and suffering tropical disease for 4 months, fighting but overwhelmed by the Japanese. So the guerrillas formed after individuals ran to the hills and were cured and started to find food and get medicine whenever they could. And they started becoming an organized force. Meanwhile, they were making contact in two directions. One, they were sending radio signals to General MacArthur, who had retreated to Australia. And on the other hand, they were contacting their friends in Manila and trying to set up an underground network to receive information and food and supplies from Manila up into the hills. And then in the middle of that comes one of my amazing main characters, whose name was Claire Phillips, who ran off to the hills, frightened when the Japanese invaded, but met up with the guerrillas, who sent her back down to Manila, and she opened a nightclub and started spying on the Japanese on behalf of the U.S. rebels in the hills.
Wow. It sounds like Rick's Cafe American or something like that. You can picture the scenes from Casablanca already. But what was the reality like? I mean, it couldn't have been that glamorous, no doubt. I mean, what was Claire Phillips doing? How was she running her operation? And to what degree did she have success in conveying information? And did the did the Japanese ever find her out?
Well, you can imagine being an American in Manila during World War II was not an easy thing.
No.
The first thing that happened when the Japanese invaded Manila was to round up all the Americans and put them in a detention camp. 5,000-6,000 Americans were placed in a an old university, University of Santo Tomas, and it turned into a hovel, and they hardly had food and medicine and tough to survive. But Claire, who, you know, kind of like the perfect spy, she was a singer from Portland, Oregon. She was used to conning her way through life, but now conning her way through life, but with a great purpose to challenge the Japanese. Claire got fake ID as a Filipina instead of being an American. She wasn't imprisoned, and she put together the ability to open this nightclub. The nightclub was kind of like it looked like a movie. Beautiful clothes, beautiful women circulating in a smoky room, lighting the cigarettes of Japanese officers, and a band playing beautiful music and Claire singing songs. And as soon as it was over, taking off her makeup, she would be gathering up reports to send up to the hills. So it was a really remarkable story, and under tremendous pressure, because the Japanese military patrolled the streets of Manila. If you dared look at a soldier head on instead of bowing before them, you'd be slapped, beaten, or worse. And so this was a hour by hour, people were risking their lives.
We're speaking with Peter Eisner, the author of MacArthur's Spies, The Soldier, the Singer, and the Spy Master Who Defied the Japanese in World War II. I don't want to give everything away, but what happened to some of these folks after the war? I mean, did they stay where they did they stay? Did they return to the States? Were they recognized for what they did?
The three main characters, Claire Phillips will be remembered most probably because of her remarkable ability to operate right among the Japanese, finally was captured and identified by Japanese military police. Some of the same people that she was singing to every night finally realized that she was the spy among them, was thrown into a dungeon, tortured, and sentenced to death. But then finally, by not breaking and not letting them know how much she'd been doing, because they assumed that she was helping prisoners of war and providing food. They had no idea that she was actually gathering intelligence information. Had they known that, she would have been killed. As it was, she was sentenced to prison for years, and then finally, when MacArthur was able to make his way back to the Philippines, he sent out Ranger units. They were able to liberate her before she could be executed.
We've been speaking with Peter Eisner, the author of MacArthur's Spies, The Soldier, The Singer, and The Spy Master Who Defied the Japanese in World War II. Peter, thank you for being on with us today.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland.
From Sky Pass Entertainment comes The Least of These, the Graham Stain story.
The law states that no person shall convert or attempt to convert any person from one religious faith to another. And yet not one missionary has been charged.
When speculation mounts that a local missionary is converting locals to Christianity in India.
Leprosy is the veil behind which Stains operates, the tool he uses.
A journalist must choose between his own ambition and the truth.
You bring me evidence of illegal conversion, I'll give you a permanent position.
One day I'll find the proof of him converting the tribals.
We can't make any mistakes.
They have this law for a reason.
Hello, we must pray.
Based on the incredible true story.
You can still write the truth.
What is the truth?
Write about the work, not about me.
The Least of These, the Graham Stain story. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. For theaters and tickets, go to theleastofthese.movie.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. We're speaking with Dr. Justin Frank. He is the author of Trump on the Couch. Let's talk a little bit more about Donald Trump's father.
Sure.
You mentioned that he had a picture of his father on his desk for the first few months of his presidency, not his mom. What was his relationship with his father like growing up?
Well, his father was a tyrant at home. He was very demanding, and he never praised his children. However, Donald saw him attack and criticize the firstborn, his older brother, Fred Jr., and he was a very observant person, Donald, and he understood that the only way to deal with his father would be to go along with what he did, try to be like him. It's called identification with the aggressor. It means, you know, if the father hits the kid hits the dog. It's like being like him so you won't be hit by him. So he became like his father. And he became ruthless like his father, demanding like his father. The other thing his father did was his father cut corners in building and tried to always save money and was always talking about being taken advantage of. He would count every little nail and he would go to the construction sites and save every little nail that was long, you know, on the ground. And Donald is like that. I mean, he keeps talking about how expensive it is to have military exercises in South Korea. He talks about money a lot, and he wants to not spend money, and he cuts back on spending.
Gotcha.
And so in that sense, he's very much like his father. He's also rivalrous with his father because he's afraid of him. His father was really tough and really critical. So he used to even say, he even wrote at one point, I went and saw this piece of property and I decided I was not going to tell my father about it. I was scared to buy it without telling him, but I decided to do it. I mean, he's like, this is an adult man. He was probably in his 40s when he was like that. He's really scared of his father. So he needed to feel omniscient, omnipotent, as a way of protecting himself from his father. So he developed an ideal sense of who he was in relation to his father, so he could be reassured that he was powerful and strong, but never had to feel consciously that he needed his father. So
interesting.
He attacked regulations. He attacks what other people do when they try to he hates regulations on business because his father tried to regulate his life. So he hates all regulations. He also was sneaky with his father. He snuck into Manhattan and he lied to his father and he bought switchblade knives and started a collection of switchblades, which his father found out, and his father sent him away to a military training academy.
Wow.
And his father was the one person who understood him, and his father sent him away because he knew he couldn't cope with Donald, and he wanted to stop his behavior because he was throwing things at kids at school. He was in detention every day almost. He couldn't pay attention and couldn't learn.
Wow.
So his father set limits and figured it out. I think unconsciously now, even though Donald is now over 70, I think unconsciously he still has a remnant of that fear of being discovered. So he has to, and I think that he's living that out in relation to Mueller's investigation, that Mueller is going to be like his father in some way and figure out who he is. And instead of sending him out of the Queens and his home, he's going to send him out of the Oval Office.
Right. We're speaking with Dr. Justin Frank, the author of Trump on the Couch. One thing more briefly about his father, I suppose really more of a medical question as opposed to a psychiatric one, but his father, late in life, had Alzheimer's disease and passed away as a result. Many people have speculated that this could be a family trait, especially given what they observe to be the president's mental lapses. What are your observations about that?
Well, I'm not ready. I think he needs to have an evaluation, a proper one, not by Dr. Ronnie Jackson, you know, who can say, well, he can draw a camel or whatever he did, draw a clock. You know, I think that he needs that. I think that he's not nearly as coherent as he was, say, 10 or 15 years ago, but who is once they're over 65? I mean,
okay.
It's very unusual, so including me. And so I don't feel that there's enough evidence yet, but there is the fact that Alzheimer's often runs in families. There are tests for it. I think that some of the characteristics of people with early Alzheimer's he does have, which is the repetition of words and phrases, trying to get through to people and make himself understood, his inability to really process questions, and return to familiar pat phrases and things that he's more comfortable saying.
Right. And let's address that some also, separate from whatever medical cause there might be of that. Let's talk about his communication style. Why do you think Donald Trump speaks in this roundabout, stream of consciousness, discursive way? Has he just spent too much time with Sarah Palin, or is there something deeper to it?
Well, I think there's something deeper to it, although he probably has a little bit of Sarah Palin in his genes. But I think that the main issue for him is that because he lies to himself, because he attacks inner truth, because he avoids facing who he is and taking responsibility, over time, he's less and less able to think clearly. He's less and less able to make sense. What I write in my book, that's a very simple statement, it's very clear, that the search for truth is to the mind or the psyche like food is to the body. And without that search, the psyche starves. And I think that's what's happening to him. I don't think he can think clearly. I think he reacts instead of thinking. I think he shouts louder than other people and interrupts other people, and that's how he is. I think that part of that is not only an attack on truth, it's an attack on inner truth to protect himself from any kind of pain, any kind of yearning, any kind of thing that interferes with a fundamental fantasy that I think he has, and that is that he's completely self-reliant. He doesn't need anybody else. He's his own best supervisor. He's his own best foreign policy man. He's his own focus group.
We have to take another quick break, but we will be back in just a moment. We are speaking with Justin Frank, the author of Trump on the Couch. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith with Ronnie Howard. Also starring Don Knotts.
And billions 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 and billions. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. Let's finish our conversation with Justin Frank. He's the author of Trump on the Couch. It's interesting to think about how closely that dovetails with the American ideal of individualism, that you've pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps, that you can do it on your own, that you don't need any outside help. When it comes down to the nuts and bolts of it, we all depend on each other, but we like to think about ourselves that way, and Trump almost seems to be the epitome of that.
He is the embodiment of it, and I think that's part of his strength and part of his power. I mean, I think when Elizabeth Warren says, wait a minute, you can't get from A to B without being on a road that somebody else built, you know, nobody likes to think about that. Yeah. It's like, I'm here because I'm here. Mm-hmm. And it is a very American thing. And I think that, you know, Ralph Waldo Emerson really did write the key essay that is the essence of America, when it was an essay he wrote, yeah, I think, in 1840, mm-hmm, called Self-Reliance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's about having a delusion. But the problem is that when you think you're self-reliant, you are delusional, in my view, as a psychoanalyst.
Right.
It's a delusion.
Yeah.
Because it's like you were born and you never had a mother, mm-hmm, or you never needed anything. It's like, and because of that, you could never feel grateful to somebody else, mm-hmm, because it would mean that other people can do something you can't do.
Right.
You know,
right,
if you're really genuinely grateful, it means, like, I couldn't have this interview with you without you asking questions and talking about things and, right, helping me think about something, and we can talk together.
Right.
I need you.
Right. We're dependent on each other, but I suppose in a,
yes,
way that that self-reliance is the American delusion and Trump's delusion as,
yes,
well. To an extent.
Yes. USA, USA. It is. We don't need treaties. Walls are enough. We don't need treaties.
We're speaking with Dr. Justin Frank. He is the author of Trump on the Couch. You know, I see again and again where people comment on what they expect Trump to do or not to do, especially in the media. And to my mind, they miss again and again that everything he does, even negotiations with our national enemies over nuclear weapons, come down ultimately to whether it is a personal advantage for him or not. And they seem to have the expectation that there's going to be some larger interest involved there. And as far as I can see, it comes down to personal interest. Do you think that
That's right.
Fits in with his background, mentally speaking?
Yes, because there's nobody he could count on except for his father. Mm-hmm. There's nobody else he could count on. So everything is personal interest. Everything is what's called phallic narcissism. I am the biggest boy. I have the largest penis. Mm-hmm. I make these towers worldwide. I make these giant erections all over the world. You know, and so he really, it is personal. It is about him. And also he feels embattled. He said the world isn't a safe place. Everybody's out to get you. You have to hit back hard. There are two books he wrote that are actually not in print. And both of them are really about his anger at women and his feeling that it's a dog-eat-dog world. And you can buy them, but you have to pay like 40 or 50 bucks for a copy.
Mm-hmm.
They're just never been reprinted, and I assume that he never wanted them reprinted. But he basically does fit with the American ethos of self-reliance, and he is only interested in what's good for himself.
One final question. Let's look at the people that he impacts. You look at a Trump rally, and you see the crowds that are cheering him on. Have you ever thought about the psychology of those crowds and the followers and why they follow him in the face of much evidence to the contrary? What he says, they basically go along with it. What is your psychoanalysis of them or individuals who would be in that situation, who would just nod and go along and say, right on? What is the psychology of those folks, and is it possible to have a positive impact on that?
Yes, I think one of the things that's very clear about his followers, and I didn't really spend a lot of time on this in the book because I really wanted to stick with him, mm-hmm, but the impact and his power is that he can tap into other people's outrage.
Hmm.
So he is a person who is the kind of person who expresses road rage without the anonymity. He can do it from the bully pulpit. He can do it from the White House.
Wow.
And I think that it frees a lot of other people up who have felt wronged, taken advantage of, disappointed, or betrayed. And in a way, for want of a better term, narcissistically injured. They've been injured by the government, by feeling that they're not really getting what they should be getting out of society. And they feel they've always had to mind their P's and Q's and watch their tongue and be politically correct. And Trump goes past that. He says, this is what I feel. And it gives people permission to express their aggression, to express their frustration, to express their outrage. And part of the way he does that is because he has less of a superego or less of a conscience than a lot of people. So he's able to say, it's really okay to be angry. It's okay to hate. It's okay to speak up. And that's a very positive thing for a lot of people in some ways, even in a good way. I mean, unfortunately, he abuses it by creating divisions and, hatred among groups and racism and things. But basically, he's also saying, stand up, say what you think. This is who I am. I'm just going to call Little Rocket Man, and look what's happened. North Korea is a nice country now.
That power does have a positive potential. It's just
absolutely.
That in his case, it seems to connect with the darkest part of what psychologists have described as the id, instead of our higher aspirations.
Yes, exactly. In fact, there's some studies that are being done in Germany and in Denmark called the dark, I forget what it's called now, the dark power, which is what you said, which is related to the id, but the studies have shown certain leaders who have this grandiose narcissism, and they can be Machiavellian. They can really manipulate other people, and that's what Trump does. The thing that's important to remember about him is that whatever he says about someone else is also about himself. And that's the concept of projection. So when he says this is a con game, when he's talking about the people who are opposing Kavanaugh, he's the one doing the con game. He's the one who has officially not allowed 90% of the paper trail to come to be read by the Senate. I mean, they can't even have access to it. That's a con game. Or when he says that the person was committing treason, who wrote that anonymous editorial in the Times, he's also talking about himself or his fear about himself.
Yes, I urge people to read Trump on the Couch. It's a fascinating book, but I think if you had to boil it down to four words, it would be, it's all about him.
Yes. That's my diagnosis.
That is indeed Donald Trump. Yeah.
That's
the most critical takeaway. We've been speaking with Dr. Justin Frank. He is the New York Times best-selling author and clinical professor of psychiatry at George Washington University. He has written Bush on the Couch and now Trump on the Couch. Dr. Frank, thank you so much for taking the time today. A pleasure speaking with you, and all success with you and your book.
Thank you, and with all of us, really. Okay.
But good Lord bless us all. Thank you so much, sir.
Yes.
All the best. Bye. Bye-bye.
Happy Friday.
That's all the time we have today on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by yours truly, Beowulf Rocklin. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Now It's the News. And until next week, keep smiling through, just like you always do.
Happy Trails!
Some good news for consumers, merchants, and the financial industry. 3 years after banks sent upgraded credit and debit cards with a built-in computer chip to cardholders, and store owners were encouraged to upgrade their payment systems to support the new cards, a report from Visa shows a dramatic decrease in counterfeit payment fraud due to the upgrade. In fact, counterfeit fraud at U.S. chip-enabled merchants is down 82% as of June 2018. Since the chip launched nationally in 2015, Visa has seen continued growth in the number of chip cards and chip-enabled merchants. Visa has more than 3.1 million merchants now accepting chip cards. That's 67% of U.S. stores that accept Visa payment cards. The time spent paying in a chip card has gotten faster and more convenient for consumers because of contactless technology, where you tap to pay the card rather than inserting it. Tapping to pay provides the same security as traditional chip cards. To learn more about paying with a chip or contactless card, visit usa.visa.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Ahead of the State of the Union address, President Trump has decided to speak out about several military issues. After the president said sending U.S. troops to Venezuela was an option on the table, Margaret Brennan on CBS's Face the Nation asked him if he would personally negotiate with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to convince him he should leave office.
Well, he has requested a meeting, and I've turned it down because we're very far along in the process. You have a young and energetic gentleman, but you have other people within that same group that have been if you talk about democracy, it's really democracy in action.
He also said he wanted to leave U.S. forces in Iraq so he could keep a close eye on Iran. He also claimed that Defense Secretary James Mattis resigned because he told him to do it. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending,
if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes, it's still a dynasty.
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3, then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their sixth Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, six, baby! Six! That's all I got to say.
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number six!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020, USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls, and Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.